This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Look, it's no secret that for podcasters, influencers, and other content creators, branding is a major component in what you do. As a podcaster, I interact with people from all walks of life. Things move fast in conferences, meetings, meets and greets, and keynotes. And those you meet in these events are only long enough to exchange contact information for a later date when things slow down. That is, if they slow down, right? At my age, I can't remember all my social media handles to share at these fast-paced network events. But this dilemma is now a thing of the past with Contap, the first physical link in bio solution. That's right, I can now turn my interactions into opportunity with a simple tap or scan, and just like that, I instantly shared my website, social media handles, store, and podcast with anyone I choose to share. Contap comes in several physical devices. Since I'm always carrying my car keys around, I'm a big fan of the key fob. But no matter what device you choose, key fob, rubber bracelet, QR card, or button sticker, your branding information is quickly and securely shared using NFC technology. Turn everyday interactions into opportunity by sharing what matters. Click the link in the show notes to get 25% off your first purchase by using the promo code REDISCOVER. Be sure to use that link to get your discount. Contap is short for Connect Tap and is spelled C-O-N-N-T-A-P. And again, the promo code is REDISCOVER, all in the show notes. Trust me, a lot of my guests are entrepreneurs, coaches, and motivational speakers, and I'm recommending this to them as well. And in the spirit of networking and making connections, you can't go wrong. Thanks and enjoy the show. Our lives are laid out on a road of bumps, turns, struggles, and more. How do we respond? How do we endure adversity for learning and growth? I'm Aubrey Johnson, and we'll explore these questions and more on The Road to Rediscovery. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Road to Rediscovery. I'm your host, Aubrey Johnson. The Road to Rediscovery is about reflecting on life lessons to learn and grow from them, and of course, pay it forward and uplift others who are struggling through dark times. My special guest is an NLP master trainer and high performance coach who helps people move through subconscious barriers, uncovering any limiting beliefs that are holding them back to realize their absolute potential for achieving their dreams and true leadership. Ladies and gentlemen, please, let's welcome Deborah Yeager to the show. Deborah, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you here. We're very glad you're here.
Thank you so much. Honored to be here, Aubrey.
Oh, well, thank you. We're honored to have you. So let's go ahead and just dive in here. Can you just start us off by setting the stage, giving us a glimpse into the early part of your journey that inspired you to pursue the work you do today?
Yeah, thank you so much for bringing that up because, you know, and when you were opening up with talking about how we respond to adversity, so I had a lot of adversity in my life early on, and it got me to a tipping point. And what I call in the industry a transformation is a spiritual rock bottom, where not only one area of life. And so, by the way, if you're sitting there going through a rock bottom moment, you know that it sucks. It's really painful. And, you know, you feel like you're stuck. And I did. And it was also not only just one area of life, it was all areas of life. And if you're going through that currently right now, I just want you to know it too shall pass. And eventually, when you get through the other side, it will be your greatest gift, because there's so much transformation that happens through going through what I like to call the spiritual boot camp. So back in 2011, I was in a career that was completely wrong for me. And, you know, some of you may have felt like this before, where every single day you have to put on a mask, where you feel like, you know, to survive, you have to show up and posture as somebody that you're not. And you feel like your soul's dying inside. I also had this identity in the world of transformation and neurolinguistic programming. We talk about the power of the spoken word. And so I didn't realize it. I was casting spells and negativity every single day, because I would say when I woke up, I hate my life. I also would say out loud to friends and family that I was a loser magnet. Seriously. And I almost had an ego around it. I would be like, I don't understand why I keep attracting these a-holes. And I would go from town to town, to state to state, attracting the same bum over and over again. But I kept telling the story I was a loser magnet. So poof, your wish is my command. Mm-hmm. And I would say, I will never do that again. And then, of course, it would show up like a magnet. And I didn't understand why. And looking back now, it was only a reflection of what I thought I deserved. Because at the core, I believed I was broken, you know, and I also, the way that I would numb this feeling of being broken and disgusting and unworthy and unlovable was through drugs and alcohol. And so I also identified as an addict and an alcoholic. You know, I got put in rehabilitation program at 17, and they told me that I was an alcoholic and addict, and that would be that way for the rest of my life. And so I played the role, whether it be food, sex, drugs, alcohol, attention in all the wrong places, addiction of social, not social media back then, but Netflix or whatever I could watch to numb the pain, because deep down inside, it was excruciatingly painful to be in my body. And the career that I was telling you about, I was a sex worker and I was a stripper. And I had started doing that when I was 16. The first guy I ever hustled was when I was 16. And then I got into stripping, and I went through just really, really ups and downs and patterns of destruction, because at the core, I didn't believe that I deserved to be alive. I also thought that I deserved to be punished. And so I created a reality to reflect back this belief system, this BS, right? The story I was telling myself. And it really hit me hard. And when I got arrested, and this was not the first time that I'd been in and out, you know, for, you know, solicitation, stuff like this, but this time was different. I was in Vegas, and I got put in there with the orange jumpsuit, and I stayed overnight with the crew that I got arrested with. And I looked at all these women that were my age and some of them much older that had been convicted of murdering their boyfriend or on accident with like driving drunk. And I saw myself, my future, right? Like if you do not change something, this is where you can be, or even worse, you're not going to be on this planet. And so that cracked me open. And for the very first time, I started to ask for help. I asked for help. I prayed to God, the universe. I had thrown out any belief system around God, but that really shook me up. For some reason, it was different than any other time. So I asked the universe to bring something in, because I don't know how to change what's going on. And very shortly after, two people came in my life at the right time. They happened to be trained in neurolinguistic programming, and they were this gorgeous couple, and they literally felt different. They talked different. They behaved different. The essence of them, and I don't know if anybody's felt this way, where you just feel attracted like a moth to the flame. And so they sold me into this 3-day event, and I had no idea what personal growth development was.
Yeah.
Like, what's that? Like personal growth? You're telling me I can have what I want in my life? And I thought like, there's a big part of me like, this is a scam. But yeah. Trusted my intuition. It was my soul, my divine spirit guiding me. And that's where, you know, they invited me to continue on the path. And I had this huge breakthrough. And after that miracle healing of quitting cold turkey, I was taking Xanax, Adderall, Oxycontins, Lortab, smoking meth, and drinking about a fifth a day. And I had been on some sort of substance every day, some sort of alchemy every day. Since I started doing drugs, which was around 13 to 16 years old, all the way to 29. And so that was a freaking miracle. And so that cracked me open to the beginning of this journey of transformation.
Oh my goodness. Wow. What an extraordinary path
Deborah, my goodness. I mean, as you were explaining this to us, you know, and the listeners, I heard several themes. You know, I've heard laws of attraction. What you put out in the universe is what you get back, right? I've heard, you know, you subscribed to the narrative you were telling yourself. Just a lot of different themes, and those. They don't encourage you to transform and turn the other way, right? I mean, it allows you to immerse yourself deeper and deeper into the narrative, deeper and deeper into where you are, who you are, thinking that's where you belong, and that you deserve that and nothing more. I truly, truly loved the rather poignant, pivotal point in time that you drew the picture for us with being in the orange jumpsuit in Las Vegas and seeing the others that are around you and the thought that was coming, you know, different thoughts coming to your head as you were observing those around you. And another fascinating thing you mentioned there, Deborah, is you started to feed out into the universe, again, laws of attraction, but in a different way now, in a positive way, praying, you know, for just some way to be rescued or to find a different direction or path out of this direction and path you were going, you know, and that's when you met the two NLP experts and so forth, you know, and you had to have some belief of that law of attraction, I would imagine, you know, what you put out in the world, you get back, because you were bold enough to put something positive out at that defining moment after so many years of the negative narrative.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Yeah, so thank you for sharing that. I don't think I even knew what I was doing. So this is where I think there's a divine spirit that intervenes in people's moments. It's like, no, she finally surrendered to myself. Yeah. Like I surrendered. I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I want more. Boom. Just by saying that there has to be something more than this and looking outside and asking source intelligence, God, asking for help. I think that shift in frequency then attracted me, because I didn't know about personal growth at all. I fell into it. Like most people are like, oh yeah, you know, you probably knew about it. No, I didn't. And I didn't even really know what I had completely gotten myself into with level, like the first thing. I was like, these people are so weird. What are they talking about? Yeah. Right? It was completely over my head, because like I felt so victimized, you know, because when you're in it, when you're in this matrix of disempower and victimization, you don't realize you're in a prison of your own making. I didn't know that I had a choice.
You're
I had
so no close idea. To it. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Wow. Wow.
I'm so fortunate. I'm so grateful.
Incredibly fortunate, Deborah. Incredibly fortunate. And so I have a question for you based on the following scenario. Okay. And this is where we kind of slowly start to meander into the neuro-linguistic or the neurology behind why people do the things they do. Would love some insight on this. So I don't know what to call this scenario. I'm just going to call it eater's remorse. You know, there's this phrase I've heard ever since I was a kid. My mother told me this, you know, when you pile so much food on your plate and your mother says,
your eyes are bigger than your stomach and you're only able to eat less than half of it and you're full. You're just full, full, full. It's like, oh, I can't eat anything else. So I call it eater's remorse because now I wish I didn't put all this food on my plate. I can't eat all of this. I feel horrible afterwards. So, you know, again, when I see a big chocolate cake, I make a poor decision to eat it. Afterwards, I feel horrible, maybe upset stomach, regret that I have even eaten the entire cake. A few days later, I decide to eat another entire piece of, not piece of cake, the whole cake, all right? And so, neurologically speaking, is there some sort of payoff that someone gets when making poor choices or repeating bad habits? You know, even though they may know they'll feel horrible on the other side, you know, that's one part of the question. The other part is when one decides finally, hey, you know what, this crazy cycle is ridiculous, stop making poor choices, you know, and they stop making poor choices. How does that kind of happen when it comes to that payoff? Is there a new payoff or what's at that point of realization? You know, what happens to that payoff? Is it replaced by another? I hope that question makes sense. It's a two-parter there.
Yeah, you know, so may I back up just a little bit of how I think reality works?
Absolutely.
Why we're here. Okay, so this is a spiritual concept, and so some people may not agree with this, and that's totally fine. The way I view the world is this is, like I said, a spiritual boot camp for your soul designed with adversity to grow and transform yourself, yes, to know thyself as a person and then be of service to other people, right? Mm. And so it seems the way the mechanisms of the game is played is that before you come in into this beautiful, you're a multidimensional being having a physical experience in this reality, right? And the movie The Matrix is definitely a documentary in my perspective. But anyway, so you come in here and you have all this adversity and it's here to teach us to grow and transform to be the best version of ourselves, except for The Matrix tells us this is what it is. There is no anything beyond that. And so a lot of these patterns and behaviors comes from a system that is designed to keep you disenfranchised. And it's not from a place of being an effect or victim consciousness. It just seems like that would be the best challenging video game. And so, like, right, you don't want to have a video game where you win every time. You want to have one that's extremely difficult that you get lost, yes, in the program. And so, you know, I kind of like it to look at it from that aspect because it makes it so much more fun and playful. And so as a child, for me, so I have a lot of that similarity with food. I had that because the conditioning around food, I had body dysmorphia. So there's already an internal picture of myself that was not real. So I was constantly picking myself apart, thinking I need to look a certain way and perfect. Mm-hmm. And so there's a level of shame that was involved by that. So whenever I would feel shame, my go-to to numb the pain of the shame would be sweets or food because you get a dopamine hit, right? And so there was a conditioning. And even my parents that were doing the best they could with the resources they had, they would, you know, after you went to the doctor to get a shot, let's go get some Rally's fries because you're such a good girl.
So yeah,
there's another condition around that to where, like, you big good girl, you deserve it to eat that cake.
Exactly.
So all of that is going on underneath the hood of the firing and wiring of the unconscious mind and the patterns and behaviors. And everybody has a different reality, different story.
Right.
And just know that food, can be as addictive than any drug for some people. And going back to what I said before, nerve cells that fire together, wired together, this is Dr. Joe Dispenza. You know, if you've been practicing this habitually since childhood or even later in life, it's become an unconscious pattern to you. And so you go to the food to numb. So anytime that I would feel like I was beating myself up, I was looking for sweetness through the sweets that I was eating metaphorically. Right.
Right.
And so it was a way of doing that. And then, so you're not thinking about the payoff. You're chemically in that moment addicted to the dopamine, the hormones, the chemicals that are going to be produced by eating it. The problem is it just doesn't last very long because then the other part of you, the part of you that likes to numb, to not feel the pain, comes in to have you eat the food. But then the other part comes as like, why'd you do that? You I used to call myself a fat ass, right? So I'm just saying that is an internal dialogue that I used to say to myself. You know, I'd shame myself and be critical, and then I would go in the mirror and look at myself and pick myself apart. And that part, actually, these parts inside of us actually want to serve us. They want us to be successful.
Right.
And so this part that's beating myself up is actually trying to keep me healthy. And so then it was, then the motivating part comes, like, I'll come save the day. Now I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to work really hard. And, then it's a cycle that we get on this hamster wheel of hell until we break it and see the possibility in something else. And it really boils down, from my perspective, is becoming aware of it. And then the second is, how can I suspend these behaviors and then clear the negative emotions and break the pattern in the nervous system and love on these parts of myself? Because all these parts inside of us that fight, they are basically our inner child. They want to be loved by you, right? They're looking for approval by you. And once you start working with the inner child, a lot of the stuff goes by the wayside. Because instead of going to that food, you'll go say, hey, I could take a walk instead, right? I'm feeling a little bit stressed today. What would be a better alternative? And that's where the shift happens.
Ah, I see. I see. Wow, that's extraordinary. So we're not necessarily looking at this as a payoff, so to speak, then. I mean, it's when you want to get those sweets and it's that dopamine hit, it's an at present time, I don't know, urgency or addiction. Would that be a better way of putting it? I guess I'm trying to figure out, like, the difference between someone, and this is for the benefit of the listeners who often have these types of adversities. An addiction and coping mechanisms.
Right.
Can you give us a distinction between the two, where, I guess, you know, what is the defining element that makes them different?
So again, and I don't like using labels, but for the lack of not being able to present in a certain way, chemically, you could call what the chemicals produce in your pharmacy of your body after you eat the food. There is a chemical shame. There's a chemical, you know, dopamine hit that you're getting, and because you've been practicing it so long, it's almost like you're addicted to it. Now, I don't believe that because you're addicted doesn't mean you can't change that, right? It's just that's your go-to. It's kind of like, you know, if you've been, it's like the, so nerve cells that fire together, it's like the traffic that goes down LA freeways. It's really practiced. It's really rehearsed. Now, at any given moment, you could decide to get off and go on an access road and then get on a country road and start carving with your car, you know, like with your car, starting to go in your own direction. Now, there's not that much, you know, that hasn't been packed, compact for a long period of time. And so it's easier to do the freeway because you've done that for so long, but you can peel off and go on a new road. And the more that you practice it and a new way of being, doing, having, that becomes the new road and path. So everything that we do is neuroplasticity. So, you know, in that, you know, same thing with me. So I found these mentors and I went to this training that was a complete leap in neurology. Normally I would have never done something like that because I was afraid of people, right?
Yeah. The only
time I felt comfortable was high. So I actually was still using drugs with the first training and halfway through the second training because I didn't know how to survive. So was I making the most amazing decisions? Probably not, but it got me there. And then slowly but surely over the period of time, I started.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to TalkSpace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at TalkSpace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at TalkSpace.com.
Started creating new pathways and different behaviors. And so everything that we do with NLP and hypnosis and timeline work is we're rewiring the old nervous system into a new pathway of something that we want instead. And so, and the cool thing is that you are not hardwired. Like when I was growing up, you only have so many brain cells. That's all bullshit. Neuroplasticity. Okay. When you're in a heightened learning environment and you're in trance, you can rewire your nervous systems very fast. And you can change a behavior like that with the unconscious mind when you're working with the deep unconscious. Instead of trying to do the 21-day habit strategy, which does work, and it takes a little bit more conscious discipline, when you're working with the unconscious mind, it can be a lot faster and easier.
So with the unconscious mind then, I'm not sure if it's also referred to as hypnosis or other practices where the mind is basically unconscious. And let's say this is the mind of a person that has endured trauma. Years of trauma. Is it easier to break down to the root cause? And I guess, is it a method of peeling layers in the rewiring or reprogramming of that unconscious mind that is a lot easier to achieve versus a conscious mind?
Yeah, so our conscious mind doesn't. So the way that our conscious mind, the conscious mind is that I am Jabariel Yeager, and it's my identity. It's connected to our ego. It's a part of us that creates our future and visions and has goals, right? Mm-hmm. Our unconscious mind is the intelligence of our body, and it stores all of our belief systems, our values, which are what motivates us and gauges right and wrong, our emotional reactions. It's how our strategies, our skill sets, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so our unconscious mind, think about it, the first time that you ever drove a car, right? Consciously, you're thinking about all the different things. It was overwhelming. But after you started practicing, it became habitual. And you relegate it to the unconscious mind, and then it's automatic. And most of us, not all of us, but we drive rather unconsciously. Sometimes you'll miss an accident because you're thinking about
it.
God, our unconscious mind is that way. So the good news is that once you learn how to connect with the unconscious mind, it's very powerful. It wants you to be successful. It wants you to change. It wants you to have all your goals. It is the driver for all the behavior that you do. So it wants to get on board. So it's building a relationship essentially with yourself, and then getting into trance states, whether it be through hypnosis, breathwork, NLP, timeline modality, regression, and getting to the root causes through the unconscious. Because once you get into, it's like the keys to the castle. It opens up the doorway to then do this deep inner healing work, inner child healing, trauma release. That is necessary. And then once all of that is integrated and rewired, then it's easy to create success because you're not kicking your own butt. You're not self-sabotaging. You're not beating yourself up. The belief systems are, so let's say that you have a goal to create a very successful business, but then there's unconscious programming about money mindset that's holding you back, your self-worth. Well, that's going to sabotage. But your unconscious mind wants you to have that goal. So once you get in relationship with the unconscious mind, it's fairly easy, and everybody's different, right? So generalizing that to everybody, some people with complex trauma, it's going to take longer. And if they actually have a physical brain injury, that's another thing. So they need to be working on the physical brain injury. We have an amazing person that has a clinic here where they're working with people with neurodegenerative disease and brain injuries, and they're doing the subconscious, unconscious mind work at the same time.
Amazing. So they're doing that at the same time. That's impressive, because I was going to ask if the unconscious mind work was like an initial foundational type of work you do with your clients, to uncover and to unpack all that, right? So that you know, there is some rewiring and reprogramming, and then with the conscious mind, you can work on okay, what dreams do you have? What goals do you have? With the mindset that they have now of, I can achieve this.
Yes. You know?
So is that basically how that works? Is that unconscious work foundational, I guess, prior to, I guess, the rest of the work for their dreams and goal setting?
Yeah. So this is what we say in our vision alchemy is that the conscious mind is the goal setter. The unconscious mind is the goal getter. And from an esoteric and spiritual perspective, this is even in the Bible and many different scriptures around the world is as above, so below. And so what that means is what's showing up in your life is exactly what your unconscious mind believes to be true. And so for an example, if stuff is showing up in your life of what you don't want, just like I had in my life, it was because that I believed that I deserved not anything that I wanted, right? So I thought that I had a very low standard of reality. And so what's being presented is magnetically drawn into your realm of what your unconscious mind blueprint is. Now, the cool thing is that everything in your life that you love is actually you too. So it goes both ways. And so once you discover that, then if you have stuff that's showing up that you don't like, you're like, okay, so where is this in my life that I either believe that I can't have what I want, or perhaps this person's here to teach me about boundaries, or maybe I don't think I'm deserving of love. That's why I keep attracting these negative relationships. And by shifting it internally, all of a sudden the reality outside of you starts shifting too.
So a major benefit that clients get out of this is to me, it sounds like a very, very heightened sense of self-awareness now.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Exactly. And health. So we're talking about the neurodegenerative disease without going on a tangent about health. Yeah. We work with lots of naturopathic doctors, holistic people that are working in medicine, regenerative medicine as well. Mm-hmm. And they say that about 80% of physiological dis-ease is because of trauma.
Oh, really?
Yes. Trauma is inflammation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
holding you back big time.
Yeah. So we've seen people that had childhood trauma that just couldn't lose the weight. They would lose and gain it. And then all of a sudden they clear the trauma, lose 40 pounds, don't change anything. I mean, not to say that we diet and exercise is not important. It is very important. And what is it that's causing the inflammation of the body? What's causing that dis-ease, the body not in ease, right?
So, yes. Yeah. Let me see. Have you and Brandon ever encountered, I guess, clients or situations where the narrative is based off a generational limitations?
I got God bumps real quick.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because I love this. So have you ever heard of the field of epigenetics?
Very vaguely, not enough to say anything about it, but I've heard the term.
So anybody that's interested in this, check out Dr. Bruce Lipton. He talks about, and this is also for the physical body. So passed down, turning off and on of genes from trauma. This is proven by science now. Mm-hmm. Also, we've seen addictive type of behavior passed down. We've also seen trauma passed down of belief systems, right? And behavior passed down through the generation. So for an example, we had this beautiful woman, Armenian, and her ancestors went through the Armenian genocide. And we started working with her and we helped her release rage from her entire lineage. Yeah. She lost 40 pounds and her life started changing. She started choosing different things. She started attracting different things. There was this horror correlation between men. We've seen people that have had, you know, it doesn't matter where you're from on this planet. Most likely your ancestors had some form of slavery and trauma and war being impinged on them.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter the color of our skin, right? It's just, unfortunately, that seems to be that was some of our past, right? And so think about that, how an epigenetics, meaning if you experience trauma, your nervous system changed, your nervous system is constantly adapting to that trauma. And based upon the trauma, it could turn off and on genes. It also could create certain behaviors because it's all about survival, right? And so they have a study with field mice where they would have a mouse and they would shock it as it was smelling a cherry blossom. So five generations down, the baby would respond by knee-jerk reflex. So human beings are the same way. So the cool thing is that you don't have to be carrying that baggage anymore. Right. It's not even yours, right? So you can release it for yourself, but also eight generations in the past and eight generations of the future. And we've seen people release it now, and all of a sudden their children start changing. Their behavior starts changing. They communicate differently. What they're attracting in their life, their vitality is lifted. So this is where the magic happens. That's why I got excited when you talked about it.
Well, I mean, completely, right? I mean, this is extremely exciting. I mean, parents subconsciously, unconsciously, from whatever trauma they've gone in, leading by example, doing the best they're doing to raise their kids, you know, and that trauma feeds down to them somehow. I mean, it's within, I don't know, the chemicals, the body makeup, just every single physical and verbal, tangent, non-tangent thing the parent does with their child. And like you said, with the mouse, five generations down, right. I mean, a knee jerk to the cherry blossom. I mean, it's extraordinary. And so I think it's also extraordinary that the work that you and Brandon are doing with these clients, and you've encountered those who have had these generational trauma issues, you're helping them, what I call, break the cycle.
Yes.
And my goodness, if you work with children as clients where you can also break that cycle, oh my goodness. I mean, a huge shout out to the parents that at least realizes this, number one, and number two, wants a better life for their children, wants their children to have a better life, to where they actually, you know, seek out for any type of work to where they can break the cycle, and just from there, the sky's the limit, right? In whatever exactly they can achieve, whatever they want to set their goals for. And I can see these limiting beliefs and the trauma and the generational trauma being passed down, really, really keeping someone in a rut. Wow, this is impressive. I mean, I'm so glad that kind of that falls in line with the work that you and Brandon do.
Yeah, and my message for everybody that's listening is that when you're in the victim cycle and it just feels like the world is coming down on you and it just feels like you can't get ahead, just know that is the, it's like the, I like to look at it as like a diamond or a pearl, if you will. That's like, that's like the pressure that's creating and like creating your beauty and your strength, and that adversity is melding you into the person that you are going to become, that you are going to be able to serve at a deeper level. And once you shift that, knowing that you're not a victim, that you have the power to change and that you can create whatever you want. And I know that sounds crazy for some people, because that's how I felt. I was like, you're full of shit. But as I started doing the work, and I'm like, oh yeah, you're actually right. Because like, I can choose this and I can choose that. But that comes after some time of unraveling and healing and loving on yourself, and then you start seeing the possibility. And it truly is, because what you focus on, this is another thing, what you focus on in your reality, this is quantum physics. They have proof that, you know, this reality responds based upon the observer. And mm-hmm. so what that means is that we are the conscious or unconscious creator of our universe. And the more that we focus on, if you keep focusing on what you do not want, you're going to create it. And so if you do find yourself going down the rabbit hole and looking at all the negativity, you know, break the pattern and ask yourself, what do you want instead? What do you want instead? I actually did this for, I think it was about 3 weeks. I tasked myself on my journey, because I had a really bad, what I call itty bitty shitty committee, you know, mm-hmm. where it's like always like, yeah. So I said, you know, enough of this. And so I'm going to rein this in. I'm going to start practicing, focusing on what I want. And so anytime I'd have a negative thought go by the screen, I would take out my journal and I would write down the negative thought to be aware of it, to see the pattern.
Sure.
And then what did I want instead twice?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll notice if you do this game with yourself, when you say what you want instead twice, and then you actually feel as it is already happening now, you actually rewired in your nervous system. Wow. Because when you are feeling it, mm-hmm. seeing it, hearing it, tasting it, smelling it, and you're saying it out loud, you're actually wiring and firing on that new pathway. It's like you're taking the new road. Yeah. And the more that you practice that over and over and over again, it generalizes to how you think. So now if something negative happens, because that's what happens, right?
Right.
Immediately I ask myself, okay, so what am I going to focus on instead? How can I solve this problem? And how is this a gift? There's always a gift within the garbage. Always.
Mm-hmm. And with that, you have answered the question of how weeks, months, years down the road after a client has worked with you or someone has had this type of work, you know, done deep work, I would call it, triggers happen. And a lot of those triggers are bad situations, bad circumstances, bad events that can really revert you back to just old ways of thinking, what to do, what to practice. And you mentioned it right here, asking yourself, this could be a gift. In what way could it be a gift? You know, having that reframe perspective on the event happening to you, not receiving it in a victim mindset, right? So those are some extraordinary tools and methods that really anyone can apply as long as they're aware, I would imagine, whenever a negative event comes about.
Yeah. And the more you do it, the more aware you become, and just know that I'm still not aware of everything. I'm not perfect. I'm on the path just like you.
That's right.
This is why we're here. Yeah. We're all here to grow. Yeah.
No, the work never ends. Thoughts. You know, just like as I have always said, a lot of people tend to stop. A lot of people tend to stop and ask themselves, why does all this bad stuff happen to me? Why does this happen? Why does that happen? You know, why am I having all these problems? You know, well, barriers, problems, adversities, challenges, struggles, all those things, you know, they're not getting in the way of our path. They are the path. Mm-hmm. To your point earlier, as you mentioned, Deborah, life is designed, this matrix or documentary, however you want to look at it, is designed with these challenges in our path, like a game, you know, so that, you know, we look at it, we have to frame it a certain way. We have to think, we're forced to think how to navigate it, how to respond to it. And, people shouldn't think that, you know, it's an inconvenience. Well, it may be an inconvenience and it's in the way, but the truth is, it is the way. So, you've shared some incredible insights, Deborah, that I have no doubt has resonated with the listeners. And I'd love to know if you can share with us, how can the listeners follow you and Brandon, learn more about your great work, and maybe even, I don't know, get a consultation call or something?
Yeah. So one way to find us is on YouTube. It's Yeager Training. We have our podcast, Your True Alchemy. We also have a website. It's called yourtruealchemy.com. Mm-hmm. And you can find out we have all kinds of transformational containers that we do here in Utah, but we also have destination retreats. We do a Tulum, Guatemala, as well as Egypt. So if you want to go on the road with us and have a, you know, an initiation path with different ancient civilizations, that's one of the things I freaking love. And we have, you know, the 3-day event that I actually did to start my place on this start. It was a stepping stone of my first step on this journey. We do that here. So if you're curious about learning about transformation, and it's called Your Vision Alchemy, and it's casting the vision for the life, your dream life. I think a lot of people right now, because of the trauma and the drama that we have in our life, it's just, there's a lot, right? And the more chaos that we have, the more that people start not dreaming big. And the whole goal of this is, first and foremost, the chaos is supposed to happen. I truly believe all of this is going to happen for a tipping point for people to wake up. The more the chaos happens, more people wake up, the more they transform. And I truly believe that our future is beautiful and happy and joyful. And so this is all about getting dialed in of what you want to create, and then clearing those ancestral blocks that are holding us back, this lifetime blocks, any traumas and dramas that we have in our life that's holding us back from our true potential, our soul's purpose, why we're here in the first place. I think every single one of you that's listening to this, you need to know that your soul has a plan for you. From my perspective, you have a gift that you're here to fulfill that is way beyond what you can even conceptualize or even say. And that's what you're here to do. And it was given to you by you and God, right? And like, this is why you're here. You are a spiritual warrior of the light. And I know you can do it. If I did it, you can too. And I believe in you.
Oh, Deborah, thank you. Thank you so much. You heard it here, listeners. Words of encouragement from my guest, Deborah Yeager. You are capable. The sky's the limit. You have unlimited potential, but you must realize this. You must realize this. God has put you on this earth for a purpose, and there's people here to help. You're not alone in your struggles, as so clearly articulated by Deborah. Deborah, we're going to put your links, email addresses, social mediums, and everything on the episode show notes so the listeners can click the links while listening to this wonderful conversation. Deborah, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. I am truly, truly grateful for you coming here, unpacking your insights for the listeners' benefit. And I truly hope that we can stay in touch and maybe bring you back in the near future.
I would love that, Aubrey. Thank you so much for, you know, allowing me to connect with your amazing community. And yeah, God bless, and sending everybody so much love.
Oh, thank you. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in. And listen, you know, in our daily struggles and adversities, they may be a pain to us, and they may even draw a tear or two. But please, please take comfort and solace in knowing that you're never alone, and hope is always around the corner. You know, we're all just roadies on this journey of life. I humbly ask that you please share this show with someone you know, someone you love, who needs motivation, inspiration, and support. I'm so glad you're taking this journey with me, everyone. Thanks again for listening. We'll chat again soon.
We really hope you enjoyed this episode of The Roads Rediscovered. We'd love to hear from you. Shoot us an email at roadsrediscoverypodcast@gmail.com and leave us any questions or comments you may have.